Lee began to work on a plan of withdrawal. Moments later, Walter Taylor was in with General Anderson, who had just come into town to look for Hill. Anderson's division of Hill's corps was stacking up on the road south of town, moving in behind Pender and Heath. Anderson had come to find out about the sound of the guns. He knew nothing. Sitting in the house was galling. Lee was becoming agitated. Anderson sat by, hat in hand, watchfully. Lee said abruptly, impulsively, "I cannot imagine what's become of Stuart. I've heard nothing. You understand, I know nothing of what's in front of me. It may be the entire Federal Army." He stopped, controlled himself. But he could wait no longer. He called for Traveler and moved on out of Cashtown toward Gettysburg. Now he could begin to hear rifle fire, the small sounds of infantry. He touched his chest, feeling a stuffiness there. So it was more than a duel of artillery. Yet Heath was not a fool. Heath would have reasons. Suspend judgment. But Jackson is not here. Ewell and Hill are new at their commands, all in God's hands. But there was pain in his chest, pain in the left arm. He could see smoke ahead, a long white cloud, low like fog on the horizon. The troops around him were eager, bright-faced. The bands were playing. He came out into a field and saw men deploying, moving out on both sides of the road, cutting away the fences. Pender's division. He put binoculars to his eyes. Troops were running in a dark grove of trees. Taylor said that Gettysburg was just ahead. Lee rode left up a flat grassy rise. Below him there was a planted field, rows of long green bush rolling toward a creek, broken by one low rail fence and a few thick clumps of trees. Beyond the stream there was a rise, and atop the rise was a large red building with a white cupola. To the left was an open railroad cut, unfinished, a white wound in the earth. There was smoke around the building. A battery of artillery was firing from there. Lee saw blue hills to the south, in the haze. But now, sweeping the glasses, he could begin to see the lines of fire, could sense by the blots of smoke and the pattern of sound what had happened, was happening, begin piecing it together. Heath's division had formed on a front of about a mile, had obviously been repulsed. The Union infantry was firing back from a line at least as long as Heath's. There did not seem to be many cannon, but there were many rifles. Was this the whole Union force or only an advanced detachment? Ewell was off to the north. Longstreet was miles away. What had Heath gotten himself into? The fire from Heath's front was slowing. His troops were not moving. Lee could see many wounded, wagons under trees, clusters of men drifting back through a field to the right. Aides began coming up with messages. Taylor had gone to look for Heath. Lee was thinking, how do we disengage? How do we fall back? Where do we hold until Longstreet comes up? He sent a message to Ewell to advance with all possible speed. He sent a note to Longstreet telling him that the Union infantry had arrived in force. But he knew Longstreet could do nothing. There were two divisions in his way. Lee looked at his watch. Well after 2 o'clock. Darkness a long way away. No way of knowing where the rest of Meade's army was, possibly moving to the south, to get between Lee and Washington. And here at last was Harry Heath. He rode up, spattering dust, jerking at the horse with unnatural motions, a square-faced man, a gentle face. He blinked, saluting, wiping sweat from his eyes. He had never been impulsive like Hill. There was even at this moment something grave and perplexed about him, a studious bewilderment. He had been the old army's leading authority on the rifle. He had written a manual, but he had gotten into a fight against orders, and there was a blankness in his eyes, vacancy and shame. Lee thought, he does not know what's happening. Heath coughed.
Sir, beg to report.
Yes?
Very strange, sir. Situation very confused.
What happened? Lee's eyes were wide and very dark. Heath said painfully,
sir,
I moved in this morning as directed. I thought it was only a few militia, but it was dismounted cavalry. John Buford. Well, there weren't all that many, and it was only cavalry, so I just decided to push on it. The boys wouldn't hold back. I thought we shouldn't ought to be stopped by a few dismounted cavalry, but they made a good fight. I didn't expect... They really put up a scrap.